Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this evening is called the Song of Isaiah. It's from Isaiah chapter 12, and it's really the entire chapter. It's six verses. Isaiah says, "In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." This is the word of our God. Is the Grinch trying to steal your Christmas song? I think most of us are familiar with Dr. Seuss's charming story of a malcontent named the Grinch, this foul, green, slimy, grouchy character has no room for Christmas in his heart. In fact, every year he worked himself up in a rage because the people of Whoville, the little people who lived in that town, celebrated Christmas with a passion. They decorated, they prepared feasts, they exchanged gifts, they sang songs. And that rankled the Grinch. So he came up with a plan. He thought to himself that if he could just steal the decorations, steal the feasts, steal the presents, steal Christmas, then the Whos would have nothing left to celebrate. And so he carried out his evil plot. Christmas Eve during the night, he cleans out the village so that there's not even a single house that has enough to feed a mouse. Sorry, I couldn't resist. As Christmas Day arrives, the Grinch is perched on top of a craggy ledge, ready to throw all the Christmas loot that he's stolen from the Whos over the edge. But he pauses for just a second, listening, hoping to hear a whimper or wailing from Whoville below. Yet, instead, the Whos gather, and they sing their Christmas song, just like they always did. And it's then that the Grinch realizes that Christmas is not about the presents, it's not about the decorations, not about the feast, but there's something greater, something bigger, something that cannot be squelched, that cannot be muted by all the foulness and the sliminess and the grouchiness of this world. So I'll ask the question again. Is the Grinch trying to steal your Christmas song? Is life, its worries, its stress, its unending demands, its troubles and hardships, its sad surprises and numerous disappointments working to steal the Christmas joy from your heart? Do you remember as a child how excited you were about Christmas? You couldn't wait for Christmas to come. Do you look back on those days with longing because Christmas just doesn't quite seem to be the way that it was? Join the crowd. The Grinch of all Grinches has got our number. He knows how to steal Christmas joy. He's been doing it for a long time. Our scripture today transports us back more than 600 years before Jesus' birth. God sends Isaiah with a message for his people, but it's bad news. God's people have forsaken him. They've forgotten him. And although it breaks his heart, God has no choice. It's time for tough love. Everything they have, everything they love is about to be taken away from them. Their king, their country, their status, their homes, even their place of worship. Their lives are about to feel an awful lot like the desert that surrounds them. You know, the Grinch loves it when that happens. When life is hard, when it feels wrong, and when all we can do is focus on the brokenness of this world, and we lose sight of the day that God changed all that. It's that day that Isaiah sings about this evening. Isaiah chapter 12, let's read again the first half of that chapter. In that day, Isaiah says, you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's that day that inspires Isaiah's song. Yeah, Isaiah knows that the enemy is coming, that God's people are about to be hauled off into exile, that their lives are going to change in ways that they haven't even imagined, that life, yes, will feel like a desert, that every day will be a struggle just to survive. But Isaiah says, if you just set your sights on that day when God comes to rescue you, the day God comes to take you back home, even in your exile, Isaiah says, you won't just struggle to survive, you'll thrive. Now that day, although Isaiah can only look forward to that day, for us, that day is already history, right? It's his story. It's the day that we are about to celebrate. It's the day that God himself came into this world. The day that God took on human flesh and blood. The day he became one of us. But it's also the day, isn't it, that they nailed God to a tree. The day God carried our guilt for us, the day God died in our place to redeem us. And it's the day that God walked out of that grave alive again and proclaimed victory over sin and death. It's the day when, through the waters of baptism, God rescued us from our own personal exile, from the power of sin, death, and hell in our own lives. It's the day of God's salvation. We're living in that day. It's today. Everything that Isaiah is singing about here, it is our life story. And it changes everything. In verse 3, he says, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, if you live in a desert, then a well is life, right? For you, for your family, for your livestock, which provide your livelihood. God's message of salvation is life. No matter how dry or parched the circumstances of our life might be. See how powerful that is? If we could just refocus, if we could stay focused on that day, the day of God's salvation, then all the refreshment we would need, we'd have. Not just to survive, but to actually thrive. Yeah, thrive. Isaiah says, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You know, I never noticed this before I studied it this last time, but it's plural, isn't it? The wells of salvation. Not well, but wells. Sometimes if you're in a desert, you have to travel for days, maybe even weeks, to find the refreshment that you are looking for. God has provided wells of salvation, multiple sources of life and refreshment for whenever we need it as we go through life. His word, his sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the encouragement of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The source of this refreshment, it is always the same, of course, is Jesus, that living water. But there are so many places that we find this water, and the ability it has to quench is unbelievable. If your life feels dry, if it feels like a desert, my friend, it's certainly not for lack of water, is it? Isaiah goes on to sing of the powerful quenching power of this water. He says, although, Lord, you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. I don't know about you, but I hate it when I'm at odds with someone. It just eats me up. To be at odds with God can consume us, driving us to all kinds of sinful and self-destructive behaviors. When the anger, when the disconnect leaves us feeling dry, with joy we can draw water, as Isaiah says, from the well of God's forgiveness. Forgiveness both for us and forgiveness for that person that we're just so angry with. Or when the worry or the stress, the burnout saps the life out of us, Isaiah says, surely God is my salvation. When fear or loneliness or the feeling of defeat overwhelm me, the Lord himself, Isaiah says, is my strength and my defense. When I lose my job or lose someone I love, when I'm suffering from sickness or afflicted with pain, whatever it is that's sucking me dry, Jesus has provided a well of healing, a well of hope. And it's a well, right? It's deep. It's not like it's a bucket or a bowl. It never runs dry. Sometimes if I put my hope in the things of this world, there's always that fear, isn't there, that thing or that person might someday let me down. But not Jesus. Jesus is a well of salvation, an inexhaustible source of life and strength. And Isaiah says that in that day you will say, you turned your anger away from me. You comforted me. You are my strength and my defense. Don't miss that powerful pronoun. God is looking you straight in the eye. And he says, and he's speaking to you, and he's saying, Jesus was born into this world for you. Jesus died for you. These wells, all of them, they're yours. It's time to thrive, not just survive. Back to the story of the Grinch. You know, the Grinch stole everything from those poor little Whos, didn't he? Yet they still sang with hearts full of Christmas joy. God's encouragement, God's great desire for you and me is to learn the lesson of the Whos. Second half of Isaiah's song, starting at verse 4. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud, sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among us. The Grinch is looking to steal the joy, the song of Christmas from our lives. And goodness knows he's got a million ways to do that. But if we can keep our focus, the truth is nothing he can say, nothing he can do can steal God's hope-filled song from our heart. This message series has been based on the song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. Well, you get that tune, that earworm going through your mind. Even though that song can do absolutely nothing to change the reality of your life, somehow it just makes things seem brighter. That's what a song does, doesn't it? And if a human song of longing can inspire hope, imagine what God's song of salvation can do. Yeah, and that's the point. You know, what if we were to sing more and more in our lives of God's bling? You know what bling is, right? Bling is something that's shiny. It attracts us. It's beautiful. Well, there's nothing more beautiful than Jesus' love. Jesus loves us completely. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us eternally. There's nothing more beautiful than Jesus' promise that he's always going to be there for us, that he's going to rescue us. He's going to empower us. He's going to carry us if he needs to. There's nothing more beautiful than the fact that we have hope, even in the most hopeless of situations, that we have peace no matter what the struggle or what the conflict, that we have joy even in the darkest moments of this life. We have a song, my friends, think about it, that can change the world. But first of all, just think of what it could change in our own lives, right? If we were to live every day as though we were drunk on Jesus' love, if we spent less time fixated on our own negative feelings and thoughts and more time on singing God's song of salvation, would we be as prone, do you think, to worry about tomorrow? To complain about our life's challenges, to hold on to that anger or that grudge, to wallow in self-pity. See what I'm saying? What if we didn't just celebrate Christmas once a year, but we lived the reality of what Christmas means for our lives every day? In fact, what if we chose to live every moment of every day like we were loved, forgiven, provided for, protected, given a purpose, and headed for heaven? That's the reality that Christmas brings to our lives. What if Christmas and Easter were our life story and our life song? And imagine how it might change the world if every one of the 2.5 billion Christians in this world live like that. If our lives constantly gave witness to the hope, the peace, the joy, the comfort that we have because we know Jesus is our Savior. Imagine if all the stories we told reflected always the reality of God's faithfulness to us. How could that change the world? Now, speaking of stories, the story told of a famous conductor. His name was Reichel. He was leading a well-known orchestra and choir in the final rehearsal of The Messiah. And they come to the point where the soprano soloist sings the refrain, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." With the chorus quiet, her elegant voice rang out. And her performance was marked with perfect technique, enunciation, breathing. She sang every note just as it was written. When she finished, the chorus looked up at the director, expecting a nod of approval. But instead, he got off the platform, he walked over to the soloist, and he said, "Do you really know that your Redeemer lives?" And blushing, she said, "Well, certainly I do." "Then sing it," he said. "Tell it to me so that I will know, so that everyone who hears it will know that you know the joy and the power of that truth." And he walked back to the podium, and he motioned them to begin again. And this time, the soloist forgot about all the musical technicalities, and she sang from her heart and soul. And the song became more than just a musical piece. It became a personal declaration of her faith and what God and Jesus truly meant to her. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The song of the angels is a refrain, right, in our hope-filled song. A refrain that changes everything. We know that song, don't we? But we still need help holding on to that song and singing that song every day of our lives. Thank God that that song is about Emmanuel, God with us. Come, Lord Jesus, help us live our lives, no matter how broken they may seem, like they've already been fixed. Come, Lord Jesus, fill our hearts and lives to overflowing with the song of your salvation. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.